Join Kenneth Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory for a timely message on taking your place of authority and exercising faith. It's our time to make a difference. Now, here's Kenneth Copeland.
Our time has come. God's been preparing you and me for a whole generation now to get us ready for this time. This is our time. This is our time, and you'll see why. Now, I want you to look in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So you remember, there was a major famine, and Abraham went to Egypt. Well, now notice this. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Don't go to Egypt." Well, why not? That's where my daddy went. No, don't go to Egypt. Now, that's the first big lesson of faith. Don't just follow along. God may have a different assignment on you than he had on your dad or your grandfather or your grandmother or whomever. Amen. You're, in the first place, you're of a generation that has been called a duty and been caused to be born in a time like this that I'm telling you, this is the most dangerous generation in the history of the human race, brother. Now, notice what he said here. He appeared to him and said, "Don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. You go where I tell you to go." Don't go where your dad went. Well, what was wrong? There wasn't anything really wrong with Abraham going to Egypt, not knowing any more than he knew about living by faith. Because that happened just a short time after he was learning how to walk by faith. He was learning how to be directed of the Lord. And even though the blessing was on him, he hadn't gone far enough at that time to really know what this thing was that was on him. He was learning about it. But now, he was 75 when he stepped out on faith. He was 100 when this boy was born. So here's 25 years before Isaac was born that his dad walked and lived by faith and finally came to the place where faith got this boy born under impossible situations. So now there's a lot of faith walking going on there between the time that Abraham went to Egypt and now here's Isaac. He's raised in faith. His dad taught him how to hear God. He's learned. He's walked in it. In other words, the point being, he is further along in faith at when this famine came than Abraham, his dad, was when that famine came. And even though God might have steered him another direction, and I believe I can show you in the Word where he would have, but God understands that. He wasn't expecting him to do something he couldn't figure out how to do. He's guiding. He's leading. And even in Egypt, he bountifully took care of him. Yes. And it wasn't somebody else taking care of him. It was the blessing of the Lord taking care of him. But he's having to learn how to walk blessed and be blessed and possessor of heaven and earth, heir of the world. He's having to learn how to walk in those things. Well, here's Isaac. Now, he's raised in faith, And now here he is, grown man, and he's living by faith. Well, when the famine came, he just started to do what his dad did, and, you know, hook him off down Egypt. Live off the Nile till the thing breaks. It's what everybody else did, if they could get there. But then God stepped in. Now, why? Why not go to Egypt? Here's where we have to understand and begin to think like God thinks. We have the mind of Christ, right? When we realize and understand how he thinks and how big the blessing of Abraham, the Eden blessing, how big that is to God and how important it is to him. Everything he does, everything he says, everything he has designed depends heavily on the blessing of Abraham. Originally, the blessing of Adam. Now go back to that blessing in Genesis and listen to what God said. This is the first thing any human being ever heard. He created the man and then he blessed him. Now listen to the blessing. Be fruitful. Multiply. Now, are you ready for this? Replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion over it. What is a famine? It's somewhere in the earth that needs replenishing. Something has happened in that part of the earth. We saw it just, we've seen it recently here in situations, disastrous situations, where when you get it right down, what happened? The earth broke. So the scripture says the whole creation is travailing and groaning in pain. Why is it doing that? Well, if you read just a little bit further there in the 8th chapter of Romans, it says the whole creation is crying out in travail for a manifestation of the sons of God. Somebody blessed. Somebody that can replenish the earth. Yes, somebody that can subdue it. Yes, somebody that can have dominion over it and exercise it by faith. Yeah. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might be heirs according to that promise. Now, we need to look at a major part of that promise in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. Now, how many in here are following after righteousness? I mean, this is important to you. It is to me and to my household. So this is speaking directly to me. You know it is. Look at that first word. Hearken. Got to be talking to me. That's almost as bad as men happy. Praise God. Happy Caldwell sitting around over there. Every time I get over in the book of Proverbs, it says, happy is a man. I say, yeah, I know him. I know him. Praise the Lord. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look, now it's going to tell you where to look. You're following after righteousness. You are seeking the Lord. It's going to tell you where to look. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham, your father. Galatians 3:29. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you in Christ Jesus tonight?
Yes,
then this is talking about you.
Yes.
This is what happened when you got born again. It's in you just the same as it's in Jesus. It's in you and on you, just not just the same as it was Abraham, actually on a higher level and on a more powerful degree than it was on Abraham. Because we're walking in it as joint heirs with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Now, notice, and unto Sarah that bore you, I called him, Abraham, alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Now look, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Who is Zion? The seed of Abraham. Those of you that follow after righteousness, seek the Lord, look unto Abraham, your father. I blessed him and increased him, for the Lord shall comfort his seed, his offspring, Zion. Read the book of Hebrews. It refers to the body of Christ as Mount Zion. Praise God. We're just as much a part of that, praise God, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. Now then, the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her Zion's. That's us. We're part of Zion, praise God. Let's read like this. And he will make our wildernesses like Eden.
Amen.
And her desert like the garden of the Lord. That's what the blessing was intended to do in the first place, was expand that garden. That's what would have happened if Adam hadn't, blown it off and then Jesus had to go through the hell he went through to get it back. So now notice. And like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Where? Right in the middle of the desert. Right in the middle of the famine. Right in the middle of the implosion of the world system, when it just starts caving in around them. When there's more people dying than they can get well. There's a lot of fine people out there in that mess. And a lot of them tonight are crying out to God and hadn't got a clue what to do. Our time has come. Now, when you see how important that is to God, see, these desert waste places, that's what God's interested in. That's what Jesus went to the cross for, and that's what he put that blessing in and on you and me to do. That's what it's supposed to, that's its function. That's what's supposed to happen. So he's not interested in leading you and me out of the famine someplace and hide us off out here on our little island, where we can just climb trees and eat coconuts. That ain't his idea. His idea is to lead us into the famine.
Yeah.
Why?
That's why we're here.
To stop it.
Yes.
You go in there and prosper right in the middle of it, you'll draw them all to you like flies to honey.
That's
brother.
Right.
Well, you get them in there, you can get them saved. If they're going to eat my food, they got to hear my story.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. If I'm going to get you healed.
Right.
If Jesus is going to heal you, then you're going to have to hear about him first. Our time has come. And but we're going to have to change our way of thinking. And when God says, I want you to go, oh, don't be going over there to Egypt. Go get in this famine. I'm not that guy that nobody told you yet, my God, they ain't got nothing over there. That's the reason I'm sending you, knucklehead. I'm trying to get something to these people. The church has run from that all of the modern history, all the time that I've known anything about. These are serious times. When people are getting killed 250,000 at a time, these are serious times. When people are getting killed 300,000-400,000 of them a year, right here in this country, these are serious, serious times. And this blessing that is in you is a very serious thing with God, and Jesus paid for it with his own blood. This serious business. And you and I are on the winning team. When Jesus came preaching the blessing, the religious establishment of that day was not preaching the blessing. They were preaching the law. The people never heard anything about it. They were blessed. They just heard, don't do this and don't do that and all the rest of that. He came preaching the blessing. And it manifests everywhere he went. Don't you remember he said, ought not this woman be loosed from this infirmity, seeing she's a daughter of Abraham? Remember he said that? That's what he was preaching. And the Apostle Peter said it when he went down to the house where he began to preach. And he said, how the Lord anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all. You remember what else he preached down there? He said, Jesus came to bless you. That's what he came to do. He came to get that blessing back. And the scripture says, right before he was caught away into heaven, in the last chapter of the book of Luke, they followed him until he got to that ascension place, and he blessed them. Well, what's the difference? Don't you remember he said, I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say. I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. Well, when did he hear his Father do that and see his Father do that? And he blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Only Jesus put it like this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the blessing to every creature. And as he blessed them, he ascended. He left this earth blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. When God blessed Noah and his sons, he said exactly the same word. As he ascended, he blessed them. And as he blessed them, he ascended. The last thing he said on this earth, and he was saying it when he went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. Hallelujah. The blessing. And it's in you right now. Thank God for it right now. Praise God. I mean to tell you, thank God, I have enough of the Holy Ghost power on the inside of me right now for God to do exceeding abundantly beyond all I can ask or think. According to the power that works within me. According to the blessing that is at work within me. Oh, hallelujah. Now you need to start thinking like that. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. By the blessing that's in you and me and on us, a new nation is being born. Yeah. I don't know how to rejoice about it anymore. You just have to do it in tongues. I've run out of words. So lift up your hands and rejoice with us tonight. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For glorious things are happening in this hour. Glorious and wonderful things are taking place. And in much of the world and to many people, it looks as though disastrous and terrible things are taking place. And they are. And that's what's happening on the surface. But as my people stand and as my people pray, I am healing lands. My people have begun to cry out in repentance and turning from their wicked ways. And I am hearing, no, this is not the end of the United States of America. Our time has come.
With 21st century perspective skewed by geopolitical issues and a global economy, perhaps it has become easy to discount individual responsibility for the communities we live in, or the impact of a single voice on the politics of a nation. But history is clear. The 18th century British statesman and political philosopher Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Wherever freedom is born, it is the product of a proactive pursuit. When people seek to be free, doing nothing, in the words of Burke, is never a viable option. In the Old Testament, Moses instructed the children of Israel to be actively involved in the selection of fair and just leaders. And in the early hours of the American adventure, John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice of the land, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." So for the 21st century believer, what is civil responsibility? In practical terms, it is the decision and commitment to participate. In modern elections, as little as 16% of eligible voices have elected our leaders. Become informed on individuals and issues. Learn all you can about the candidates. Pray for discernment and wisdom. And when the time comes, fulfill your obligation as an heir of freedom. And let your voice be heard at the ballot box. Responsibility demands that your voice be heard. For every expectation, every desire, every responsibility, there's a bill that needs to be paid. When it comes to cash flow, too often we find ourselves more overcome than on top. To turn the tables, you need a paradigm shift, an awakening. To get what you've never had, you have to do what you've never done. Total immersion in the Word. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to equip you with the same life-changing tools that empowered them to annihilate financial turmoil and live an abundant, debt-free life. When activated, the 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough equips you to think spiritually about your finances, positioning you for financial breakthrough, paving the way for a productive attitude for wealth and prosperity. No matter what financial challenge you face, with God, all things are possible. Order your copy of your 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, now available for just $19.99. For faster processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call 800-600-7395 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. This product is a lifeline practical tool for your everyday needs. For this offer and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
This coming Tuesday, our election day in the United States, this very well may be the most important election day since George Washington was president of this nation, and then since Abraham Lincoln delivered this nation in the hands of God out of the hands of the evilness of slavery and all of that. You must vote. Do you hear what I said? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is very serious business. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of killing unborn babies? Aren't you tired of all of this mess that men have gotten all of this into, driving this nation away from its original purposes and so forth? It's time to pray, obey, and vote. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're voting, say, well, I know they do wrong things and all of that, but you know, if I vote for these other people, I might lose my pension. I might lose this. Hey, that makes a murderer out of you to vote for somebody you know is going to abort unborn children and all of these other things. And it, you vote in that way and you connect. That's the reason that their background is called a platform, because you got up there and stood on it with them. Amen. Well, Brother Cobra, you sure are talking ugly to us. I'm trying to wake you up. Now go down there and vote before God. Jesus is going to be standing right there in that voting booth with you, looking right over your shoulder, and you better listen to him. Amen. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for God. His system works when we operate it in his ways. We make the right decisions to succeed, and we do those things that are right in his eyes, seeking first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all those things to you. But I'm telling you right now, what you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. Father, we just give you thanksgiving today, and we hold this election day up to you. And in the name that's above every name, we lay claim to the perfect will of God in this government and move those out that will not carry out your will, and put those in that will carry out your will, and we declare it in Jesus' name is done. Amen. Listen, the Washington, D.C. campaign is coming up. Praise God. That'd be the first meeting after the elections, and we need to get together. And we're expecting a mighty move of God November the 11th through the 13th there in the Hilton Memorial Chapel, Woodbridge, Virginia. Oh, we've had some times before the Lord that I personally have been healed miraculously in that meeting more than once. There have been times I've gone in that meeting when I was hurting so bad and stumbling around so bad and come out of there, you know, I mean, strutting like a new banny rooster. Praise God. Yeah, you got to get there. And remember to get your 10-day spiritual action plan. Oh, dear, I wish Gloria and I'd have had this back there when we didn't have anything at all. Get on this thing. We put it together so you can have a foundation in God's Word. And if you do what it says, you begin the turnaround in 10 days. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395.